Good morning, everyone, from across the state, across the border, Minnesota, Wisconsin, wherever you are. Good morning, and welcome to this very, very special episode coverage that I'm bringing you today on our unconventional Thursday morning. Like I said before, on my Instagram, if you don't follow it, you might as well go over there, follow it, Lucas J. Kirchner. I told everybody that I wasn't going to be releasing a Monday episode. And frankly, it's because there wasn't a whole lot going on other than the Brewers. But I'm making it up to you. I couldn't do it last second, but now I'm bringing it in with this special Packers coverage for the 2025 season. Obviously, we'll probably do a little more from here on out as well. Season's very far from being started, but this is special coverage. We're going to be predicting it. We're going to be looking at what is happening, how the roster's shaping up, the games we're playing, everything under the sun. We're going to talk about it, so I say why not get started? So, if we're going to start things at all, I think we should start with the previous season, right? And I'm kind of looking at an article from the Packers Wire, Zach Cruz, that did this. This was a great one. It was kind of what went wrong, what went right for the Packers. Obviously, as we know, in Jordan Love's first year as a starter, the Packers went 9-8. Year after, which was last year in 2024, 11-6. So they improved, obviously, which is great. Finished third in the NFC North, the toughest division in football, and ended up losing to the Eagles twice, once in the regular season, once in the playoffs, the Vikings twice, and the Lions twice. So we lose in the wild card to the Eagles. 22-10. It was a disaster of a game. Things went wrong. Players are getting hurt. The wide receivers were all gone. I mean, it was just not our game to win. However, the year before, when everything was right, it seemingly towards the end of the year, when Jordan Love was healthy, we went into the postseason. We stomped on Dallas in Dallas, beat the Cowboys pretty badly, nearly beat the 49ers in the divisional, but ended up losing. And now here's where we are. We sit after losing to the Super Bowl champions the previous year, and things are definitely looking different. So starting off with last year, the defense was pretty solid with takeaways. Xavier McKinney was huge for that. Just a hawk in the secondary. Everything they needed to kind of support that hole that they were missing for so long. And that was a big part of the defense that went really right. Along with that, Josh Jacobs ended up being a great pickup. I think a lot of people were skeptical about that, including myself, but he was a major reason why the Packers were close or even winning a lot of games. He was, at times, their main source of offense, just a workhorse for them. And I think every Packers fan is really comfortable with him coming back and being a leader on that offense again. Like I said, the defense did fairly well. When it came to points per game and yardage allowed, whether it was through the run or the pass, they weren't too bad. And I think that's a big improvement for what we've seen in the past. Other than that, we can get to some other stuff later, but when things went wrong, it was towards the end of the year last year when lost three straight games after a win over the Saints, which, by the way, I was there for that win over the Saints. If you're going to pick a game, definitely pick one against the Saints. But after that, lost to the Vikings, lost to the Bears, and then lost to the Eagles in the playoffs. So that was a disappointing end of the year. A lot of things, like I said, just kind of not swinging the Packers' way. It was kind of a storyline all season. Jordan Love was hurt. He was never really playing healthy. Jair Alexander was in and out. It just didn't seem like a team that was meshing too well. It wasn't like you were getting the same team every week. Something's off, and you could definitely find that. When it comes to defense, the one part that did struggle at times was pressuring the quarterback. And a lot of those sacks that they had last year came in a few games, but for a lot of the time, the quarterback was not under pressure very often, which was something that I think fans have been looking to solve in this offseason with guys like Trey Hendrickson still not signed to a contract. And there were rumors, of course, always rumors, of TJ Watt. He ended up staying in Pittsburgh. But, you know, things like that, it's something that is a glaring issue right now for the Packers. And like I was saying before, just making the wrong plays, things not falling our way, self-sabotage, as this article calls it. And that's reflective of the team that the Packers are. They're one of the youngest teams in the NFL. Age-wise, snap-wise, you name it. This is a team that's very new. They're not used to this. This is a team that's learning to play together. This isn't going to be an automatic cohesion where things are meshing right away. Along with that, the wide receiver core, I mean, you kind of expected it. They dropped a lot of passes. There was not really a true wide receiver one. A lot of different guys that are kind of filling out that wide receiver by committee role. And again, the special teams did get better, but for a lot of the times, the Packers have been bad at special teams. And that's something that we've seen as a common theme in the recent years as well. And that's underratedly a big part of the game that can affect us in many ways, like we saw in, I believe, Aaron Rodgers' last game in that playoff game against the Niners. It ended up being, you know, special teams that hurt us. So that's just one part that you may not think about, but one part that should be improved and hopefully does get improved as we enter this season. So let's start off with the 2025-2026 season. Week one, open against the Lions at Lambeau. And I mean, it's the Lions. There's not a whole lot to say about confidence in this. It's a different team than the Packers are used to. We've got some new faces, but for the most part, pretty similar. But it's the Lions again. This is a great team, excellent. And, you know, the only thing I can say about them is that they lost offensive, defensive coordinators. It's new coordinators on both sides. Still have Dan Campbell at the helm, but, you know, it's week one. Anything can happen, especially in Lambeau. I feel good about the game being in Lambeau. And really, the only thing that you can harp on with the Lions is the difference in coaching. So maybe things won't seem together right away. Who knows? And I guess before I give out my prediction for this game, I should say how I kind of went about this. So I took every game on the schedule and I colored them on kind of like a confidence level, right? So I color-coded this myself. I'm staring at my four colors. At the top, or I guess you could say the bottom, is orange. These are games that I feel are most likely going to be lost. And probably I'm not very confident on that. I look at that game and I'm more worried than others. And then above that is yellow, which, you know, you feel okay about it. You're worried because it's a good team and, you know, things can happen. But, you know, you could see it going either way. You won't count us out just yet. And then above that is green. Funny enough, green and yellow right next to each other. Green, as you can probably guess, I feel good about. I feel all right. I don't feel confident. Necessarily, I feel good, not great enough to say we will win this game, but I feel like these are games that they probably will win. And then at the top, we've got blue, which to me represents a cool color. I'm feeling cool about this game. I'm not worried about it at all. And if they end up losing it, it'll be a huge upset. So starting off with the Lions in week one in Lambeau, that one's yellow for me. I could see it going either. It's a division game. Any division game is a toss-up. Even in this world, I take last year's results with a grain of salt, right? That wasn't the Packers team that you expect, and it's not the one that you're going to get this year either, hopefully. So the Lions, I could see it going either way. I could very well see the Packers getting kicked in Lambeau in week one, but I could also see them pulling out a win in week one in front of a hyped-up crowd, home opener, season opener against a tough opponent. Anything can happen. And it doesn't get any easier in week two, but still at Lambeau, facing off against the Commanders. So the Commanders are tricky. Kind of an underdog story last season, you could say. They ended up doing very well. Jaden Daniels was excellent. Loved watching him. Right now, a big factor in the Commanders roster is Terry McLaurin is looking for a new contract. He might be out the door pretty soon. So that's an uncertainty right now. Other than that, they did gain Deebo Samuel, who, you know, I'm not high on Deebo Samuel at this stage in his career, but that's still, you know, somebody in that wide receiver core. But losing Terry McLaurin could play a very big factor in how the Commanders do this season, how they do against us week two. So again, as you might be able to guess, I'm going to go yellow on this one against the Commanders. So that's two in a row kind of toss-ups. I think the Packers, at the end of the day, are better than the Commanders when healthy. I think they can very well beat them, but, you know, the Commanders are scary. And especially if they have scary Terry, they're even more scary. Don't mean to say that word so much, but you get the point. They're a good team. You can't count them out, but hey, you can't count out the Packers either. Week three in Cleveland against the Browns. I hope Shedeur Sanders wins that starting job. I'd love to watch him play, but I'd love to also watch him lose to the Packers. They could be building something, you know, they could have something going for them in the future, but facing a likely healthy Packers team in week three, it's not going to go their way. I mean, this is a game that they should win. This shouldn't be up for debate or discussion. The Browns are not as good of a team as the Packers. They're not in the place to compete with the Packers. So, as you could probably guess, I'm blue on this one. I'm cool. I'm going to call this one a win already. Week four, staying on the road in Dallas, playing the Cowboys. Now, with Aaron Jones, if he was still on this roster, this would be a shoe-in, in my opinion. As I think most people remember, he owned the Cowboys in his tenure in Green Bay. But I still think the Packers have a better shot to win this one than lose, especially in Dallas. We've got good history there. You know, just 2 years ago with that big wild card blowout, Jordan Love was on fire. I think, you know, we have a better chance to win this game than lose it. But, you know, I'd love to see another Packers-Cowboys classic. They always give great games, whether you're a fan of either team sometimes. But I think this is more than likely a win for the Packers. So, I'm going green on that one. I feel all right. I'm not saying it's a shoe-in, but I'm saying, you know what? I think we'll win that one, more likely than not. Week five, pretty early bye week. Get that out of the way. And then after that, week after, taking on the Bengals at Lambeau. Now, the Bengals are sneaky. They're really odd, kind of hard to figure out. Because not long ago, the Bengals were the team to be reckoned with. But they've kind of been downward trending. We know they were in the Super Bowl not long ago, and that they lost that Super Bowl. But since then, I mean, last year, they were not that same team. They weren't even close. And they're falling kind of in the area of the Packers in predictions this season. I have always liked the Bengals. How could you not? Joe Burrow was awesome. Ja'Marr Chase, amazing talent. But, you know, it's going to be a close matchup between these two. Not as different as it used to be. The secondary will be the main area where the Packers are going to be tested in this game. Obviously, we know different faces, different things going on in the secondary. But when you're facing off against Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, guys like that, even if you did have Jaire Alexander, they're still going to be the area that's tested. And another factor in the Bengals is Trey Hendrickson. He would be a huge player to watch if he comes back. Still not signed to a deal. Still could go to the Packers for all we know, but again, I doubt it. And Shamar Stewart, their first-round pick, also on defense. He has not signed yet. He's holding out his contract. There's uncertainty with the Bengals right now. You know, they don't really know what their season's going to look like quite yet. So a little bit of, you know, room to work with for the Packers in that regard. But there's always Joe Burrow. There's always Ja'Marr Chase. There's always these weapons that they have to compete with anybody they play. Their offense is as good as any, and their defense is where the main questions are. But again, it's tough to say. Maybe this is my bias showing through, but I feel that this is a game the Packers should win. I think it'll be a classic. Joe Burrow and Jordan Love facing off. That sounds awesome. I think we can agree on that. But again, I think this is one that they should win. I'm feeling green about this one. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe. Again, I'm not an expert. This is just my thoughts. But this is one that I could have put yellow. I was thinking about it, but I don't know. I feel that this is one they should win, especially at Lambeau. Week after, week 7, road trip to Arizona to play the Cardinals. Now, the Cardinals aren't a bad team per se, but I do not think they're on the Green Bay level. I don't think they're in that tier of teams. I think the Cardinals are a good, bad team. If you get what I mean there, they're not that good. They're not that bad. But I think they could be a sneaky team against us. But again, that could be any, you know, lower level team that you play in a season. I think the Cardinals will lose this game. I think the Packers should win this game. And if the Cardinals do win, I'll see that as more of an upset. So while the Cardinals, yeah, they're sneaky, I really think that this is one of those games that the Packers should win, and there shouldn't be, you know, much of a heart rate rising over it. Now, it's a different story the next week. Still on the road. Going to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers. Oh my goodness. I mean, come on. It's storybook. It's these things, you couldn't write it this well. I think this game ends up being as big as almost a playoff game for a Packers fan. The teacher versus the student. This is like Mr. Miyagi versus the Karate Kid. I don't know how else you can put this. Aaron Rodgers versus Jordan Love. Prime time in Pittsburgh. You couldn't write it. They knew it was going to happen. They set it up to be perfect. You can't write it. And this is a game that I feel the most uneasy about. The Steelers were good without Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, he might be 40. Yeah, I'll give him that. He's getting old. But come on. This is his revenge game. This, not that there was necessarily any bad feelings on either side. I think everybody was kind of ready for Jordan Love to take the reins, and I think Aaron Rodgers wanted some new scenery. But still, you kind of just have that feeling of a little bit of disdain. You know, it's your old team. It's the team that chose that quarterback over you. You can't beat this script. And to top it off, the Steelers already have plenty of star power besides that. If this was, you know, last year, Jordan Love versus Jets, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, come on. Not even close to the same. But we're talking Jordan Love versus Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf and Jalen Ramsey. Like, this is a lot different than many people expected to be, you know, facing Aaron Rodgers in a different capacity. But it's going to be an amazing game to watch. I think you should be excited for this as much as scared that this could be a sneaky win for the Steelers. Again, they're a good team. Let's not knock that at all. I feel uneasy about this, but I don't feel that bad about it. It's a great storyline, but again, who knows the emotions for everybody when it comes to that. I think this one goes either way. I'm feeling yellow. I think they could very well win, could very well lose. Week 9, back to Lambeau, taking on the Panthers. And, you know, how much can you say? It's the Panthers. I love them, but this is a game that you can lay back for. You know, you can maybe go on your phone a little bit. In Lambeau, I think this is just a clear win for Green Bay. I think a lot of people would agree. But, you know, if you want a storyline to watch, I'm excited to see first-round wide receiver Tet McMillan and Matthew Golden in the same game. You know, those are two guys that pre-draft I was looking at. I wrote my piece about who to watch, and those were both people to watch. And now, you know, you kind of get to see them play. Two young talents in this league. But, yeah, I'm feeling cool about this game. And if the Packers win, if they lose to the Panthers in Lambeau, it might be time to hit that panic button. But we'll see. And then keeping it in Lambeau in week 10, taking on the Eagles. And, you know, it's hard to lose to a team this many times, but it's the Super Bowl champs. Being in Lambeau is always an advantage, you know, especially you're getting in these later weeks. But we all know that might just be an excuse at the end of the day. It's the Eagles. I mean, they're excellent. They're clearly, you know, the front runner again. It's hard to beat these guys. They're so good on both sides in everything they do. And like I said, it's hard to lose to a team that many times, but the Eagles have been pretty dominant each time we faced them. In a sense, it's never really felt like the Packers have been in the driver's seat in those games. And I think they know how to beat the Packers. They've been close and fought through, you know, a Jordan Love injury, but you know, I can't rule us out of this game. I think it's possible that they could win, but I don't feel great about that. For this one, I'm giving out an orange, my first orange of the year. I think this is most likely a loss, but could end up being a win. Week after, going to New York for the Giants. These are different levels of teams, similar to, you know, the other ones you discussed. I love them. I think they're on the come up. Love Jackson Dart. But this one shouldn't be an upset for the Packers. I'm feeling cool in this game. This should be an easy road win and should get their record up. Week 12, coming back home to take on the Vikings. And this is where the division schedule gets interesting, because in these last weeks, from week 12 to week 18, the Packers play both the Vikings and the Bears twice, and the Lions in that stretch of time. From here on, it's almost exclusively division, which makes this very interesting. I wanted the Packers to meet the Vikings really early on with a hope that J.J. McCarthy would still be feeling things out in the NFL, but that's just not the case. These two teams are basically meeting at the prime of the season, and that's why I feel like if there were to be a game for the Packers to win, it would probably be this one. It's hard to say. The Vikings are scary. I think a lot of analysts don't believe in J.J. McCarthy. Not saying I believe he'd be a star. I mean, maybe that's just me falling for the propaganda. I do live in Minnesota, but I think that J.J. McCarthy will be probably similar to Sam Darnold. I don't think he's anything I'm going to write home about, you know. I think the Vikings are very scary. Other than that, I think looking at their roster in total, they're one of the best teams in the NFL. But, you know, you can't always count it that way. And it's hard to say with these games. I'm feeling yellow on this one. Any division game in the NFC North is a toss-up. You can't really predict it either way. Although it was pretty dominant last year, I think. You know, I think the Lions, this is how it shapes out for me. The Lions get a little worse. Well, when you think about your coordinators leaving, but other than that, you know, they're still an amazing team. They're a tiny bit worse. Guessing, obviously, they might be doing great with new coordinators, but and then the Vikings, I think they remain about the same. I think the Packers get a little bit better. The Bears get a little bit better. It's starting to become an all-out war in the NFC North. I think any of these games could easily go any way. The Bears could beat the Lions. The Vikings could beat the Bears. The Bears could beat anybody. The Packers, you get what I mean. But week 12, prime of the season in Lambeau. Welcome to Green Bay, J.J. McCarthy. Welcome back, Justin Jefferson. I think this will be a battle, and I'm looking forward to it. Feeling yellow. Could go either way, but I hope it goes the Packers' way, obviously. Week after, in Detroit. And like I was just saying, any division game in this division is a toss-up. But when you play a team as good as the Lions, you're going to lose at least one of these games. And if there's going to be a loss, I think it's going to be this game in Ford Field. The Lions have a pattern of beating Jordan Love. You know, he's been successful against some teams, and the Lions are just not really one of them. They've been great against the Packers recently, and Jordan Love just hasn't really had any signature performances against them. And for that reason, I think this one goes down as a loss more likely than the other one. But like I said, anyone's a toss-up, but this one I feel less good about. So this one's orange for me. And moving on, we're going to keep with the division theme. Like I said, this the end of this year is almost all division games. Week 14, facing off the Bears in Lambeau. First time seeing the Bears. I don't know who made the schedule this year, but they made it very interesting. And I think they made it this way just to make these final weeks all about the division and who is the best. And the Bears are on the come up, and they're scary to me. I think they have good talent. I think Caleb Williams is going to get better. I think everybody's getting better. And new head coach, you know, they're scary to me. That's a certainty. But the Packers are splitting this series at the least. Jordan Love has been good when he plays the Bears. Not amazing, but he has a good record when he plays the Bears. Keyword, plays. The last game of the season last year, he was not playing the whole game. Malik Willis came in. Along with that, Christian Watson went out. He was injured. And the Bears ended up beating Malik Willis in the last seconds. And you can say, oh, well, in the first game, it's all because they blocked the field goal. Okay, whatever. They won the game. It's going to be close. I'm not saying that, you know, either team is going to blow each other out. I don't think it will go that way. I think it'll be a really good game. And, you know, I think this series should at very least be split between the two. I think they're both very competitive in where they are right now. Week 15, going to Denver, which is another team that's on the come up, you know, improving with some young guys, Bo Nix at the helm. And I think this should be a good game that they should win. The Broncos are a good squad, and they have some good talent. It'll be a good matchup. And it could end with a loss for Green Bay. It could. And I'm still going to put trust in the Packers in this one. I think this is a game they should win. And I'm feeling green about this game. You know, like I said, it's very likely they could lose. It could very well happen, but I think they should win against the Broncos in Denver. I think the Packers are a better team, and I think things are going to come together in a certain way, and they will win this game, especially with how hard this end of the season schedule is. This is the easiest game they will play, surprisingly enough, because in week 16, going to Soldier Field, seeing the Bears twice in the span from week 14 to week 16, you play the Bears twice. Back to Soldier Field. We just played. What do you mean we're playing again? Like I said, this series should be split. The Bears should be tough to play again this year. And I think they will get a win on their own. They deserve one, especially at Soldier Field. They should win a game at home for once against the Packers. But again, this could be a Packers win. Now, scenarios are different. Things could happen. But like I said, I think the Packers should win one of these games. They could very well win both. They almost did last year. And in my opinion, should have. But still, I think this series splits at the very least. I don't think the Packers should lose both. Even though I like the Bears, I like what they have going. I think this is a Packers series to win. And also just a series that will most likely split. Week 17, back to Lambeau for the final time in the regular season to play the Ravens. I mean, when does it end? This is just a tough game to call. It's two teams that you really don't see matching up very often at all. And, of course, the Ravens are great. And they're one of the best teams in the NFL, especially in the AFC. And it's the Jair Alexander return game. I guess if he's even playing at this stage of the season. I mean, we all know he wasn't playing last year for us at this stage, but all love to him, though. I love Jair. I wish he was still in Green Bay. And I think and I hope that he'll be received well in Lambeau when he comes back. And this is going to be a tough test for the end of the season. Lamar Jackson, in my faint memories of the Packers, they do very bad against running quarterbacks that are really good at running. I think I remember, this is so far back, but it's just me reminiscing of when Colin Kaepernick would tear this team up with purely just running. And, you know, I hope that's not the case, but I'm excited to see this game, especially in Lambeau. It's a really good matchup. I feel yellow. This could go either way. It's toss-up. At this stage of the year, it ultimately depends on how good the Packers are doing. You know, to call it at this point is hard to do, but if you were calling it of that week, obviously going to be easier. At this point, I'm going to say could go either way. And after that, finish out the season in what other way possible than playing at US Bank against the Vikings. And I, like I was saying, I don't know who scheduled these games, but honestly, I think they are really well scheduled when I look at it. This is going to be a war of a game. I think this should have great impact on the placement of these teams in the division and the playoffs. And I really hope this turns out to be a game with really, really high stakes. And hopefully there are some. And again, the Vikings are going to be a tough team. And both are going to have to battle. And, you know, I might even try to go, because this should be awesome. But it's too tough to call right now. I'd like to say we have the edge, but the Vikings are hard to compete with. And again, I think it should be another series split. I think it should be. Keyword should. I'm saying this a lot. But it could go either way. And depending on what's on the line, we'll see what this game means for both teams. But, you know, that's how I feel. I feel yellow about that one. The final three games of the season, I'm feeling yellow. So, I didn't expect you to count all those up, right? We're going to go through the list. So, for orange games that I think are most likely a loss, I've got two of those racked up. Eagles and the Lions. And that Lions game is the second one at Ford Field. Yellow games that I'm feeling, you know, could go either way. We've got seven of those. So, interesting to see how those will play out. For green games that I feel all right about, we've got four. That's the game at the Cowboys, against the Bengals, against the Bears, and in Denver against the Broncos. I think those are more likely to be wins than the losses. And with blue games that I'm feeling really cool about, we've got four of those in Cleveland and Arizona against the Panthers, and in New York against the Giants. And to count that up is not necessarily possible, because I'm not really counting whether a yellow is a win or a loss. So this is how I look at it. This was something I saw the other day. It's the odds for the Super Bowl and regular season records. So I'll read this out at the top. No surprise. The Eagles, highest odds to win the Super Bowl. Their line at wins is set at 11.5, which, if you don't know what that means, so when people bet on, you know, win totals, if you bet over, you're betting that, oh, the Eagles will have way more than that, or you'll say, oh, no way they get that many. So, you know, it's set in that regard. I know not everybody bets, so that's how that works. Behind them is the Bills in second, Ravens in third, fourth is the Chiefs, fifth is the NFC North debut on this table, the Lions. Sixth is the 49ers. Seventh is the Bengals. And Lions, 49ers, Bengals, their win lines are all set at 10.5. We go below this. This is where we start at 9.5. The Commanders, the Rams, the Packers, the Chargers, and the Texans. All those teams are grouped together at 9.5. And the Packers are evenly squared to either go above or under that line. So I think a lot of people are uncertain of what this season will look like, and I don't blame them. So we're judging off of that line. And then we go below that. Just below the 9.5 is the Vikings, set at 8.5 wins, you know, with worse odds to win the Super Bowl. And then it goes the Broncos, the Buccaneers, then the Bears. And they're set at 8.5 as well. So pretty even there. And then four teams in a row at that 8.5, the Bears, Steelers, Cardinals, Cowboys, we all play those teams this year. Then further down the list, the Panthers, Giants, Browns, you know, that would be a miracle. So setting the line for Packers wins at 9.5. So judging off the line, you can't necessarily say what our record will be. So I made more tiers of what I think could happen, because it's hard to say for certain. So I think the absolute sky, which is saying this would be insane if we got this record, 15-2. That is not going to happen. Maybe it would. Knock on wood, in fact, if you can hear that. Maybe it can happen. In a perfect world where all my dreams come true and the Brewers have already won the World Series, again, I'm knocking. The absolute sky is 15-2. The ceiling, which I think is the realistic, cap of wins, is 12-5. I think 12-5 would be about where they would finish. I don't think they would do any better realistically where the team is at right now. I think that's a place where you'd be like, oh, that's a good season. They did pretty well and better than last year. The average, I'm obviously going to round up that 9.5. Average is 10-7. I think they should at the very least go 10-7 or better. Below that is the floor where, again, we're going 2 wins down. 8-9, I don't think they should do worse than that. At the very worst, they should be 8-9. Then we look at a special tier that I call underground. At the Earth's core, the Packers go 5-12. This is a nightmare scenario. This is something that you wake up sweating in the middle of the night. You say, what did I just see? That's what this is, a 5-12 season. By some horrible disaster, the team falls apart. Jordan Love's out for the year. And Malik Willis is out for half the year. That's the absolute disaster bottom. I think they would still win 5 games. But so that's kind of where I've put my tiers out. And I think that the Green Bay Packers in the 2025 season will finish between 10-7 and 12-15. Not going to predict the division record. That's way too difficult. But that's where I think they will land. And, it could be anywhere in between there. Not going to make a specific number. They could have an average year. They could have a really good year. It's all subject to how they play and how well this team meshes. Because, again, this is a different team than we're used to. In the free agency, added Mecole Hardman. I think he should be more of a special teams guy. He's a wide receiver. Had previous stints with teams like the Chiefs. Successful teams. And he's not going to be, a typical wide receiver for the Packers. I think he'll be a good return guy. I think this is a sign that Keyshawn Nixon, bless his heart, is not going to be returning kicks, punts anymore, even though he was an all-pro. I think this is a move that kind of set that tone. As well as that, guard Aaron Banks signed in free agency. And some people said overpaid, this, that. It's another addition. You let Josh Myers walk. He was kind of an iron man for the Packers at guard. But you bring in somebody new, you fill that gap. You also bring in Nate Hobbs. Nate Hobbs, I'm a little more skeptical about. He's a cornerback. He played for the Raiders. And he has been missing for a lot of his NFL career. He's been injury prone, I think it's fair to say. And that's what worries me about him. But that's a cornerback that you bring in that kind of still, you say, I think this team necessarily, when you think about how they were for most of the season. Now, I'm not saying, look at this cornerback room with Jaire Alexander, Eric Stokes, everybody's healthy in some fairy tale world. I'm saying down in the dumps, when we've got Keyshawn Nixon at cornerback one, we got better by getting Nate Hobbs. We are a better team. And I hope he finds his health, and I hope he plays well for us. Those are 3 guys that I think are main difference makers. And, we had some big re-signings. Brandon McManus is back. He seems to be our new kicker, so some stability there. Somebody we can count on to make kicks, and that should improve the special teams. Isaiah McDuffie re-signed. He'll be, that backup linebacker behind Egrin Cooper and Quay Walker. And you feel all right about that. The losses now. Jair Alexander, gone. And I could probably harp on this more than anybody. I think that they didn't totally lose this. They cut a lot of money out. And a lot of that money, like I said, was not going to be used for somebody like Trey Hendrickson or TJ Watt. It was used on Zach Tom. They brought him in on an extension, a big one. I don't know the exact figure. I don't know if it's exactly true, but he's one of the highest paid offensive linemen in football now. And that's what they geared up for. They're locking down these guys, guys that are here to play. Jair was not there to play. I remember being straight up frustrated last year when a big game would come along. It would say Jair Alexander questionable, gets to game time, out. You don't see him. You don't hear about him. You think, where has he been? And he's gone. I love Jair. I have his jersey. I need a new jersey now because he's gone. I loved him more than anybody, but the move had to happen. He wasn't there. And again, Eric Stokes, gone. I wanted him to succeed. I thought he was going to be a really great addition next to Jair. He was injury prone, and I hope he does well in his next chapter. Lost A.J. Dillon. Loved him too. No room for him anymore in the depth chart. Now he's on the Eagles. You know, hope he carves himself out a role there and does something good. Josh Myers is gone. He was an Iron Man. Don't like to lose him, but that's why you bring in Aaron Banks. Then Eric Wilson, lost him. He went back to the Vikings. Corey Ballantyne, one of the cornerbacks, lost him as well. So, in general, more losses than additions in the free agents necessarily in the free agency. And then you go to the draft, which I feel all right about. First round, Matthew Golden. Don't get me started on Matthew Golden. Come on. This guy should be special, in my opinion. I love this guy. I love this pick. I think everybody in Green Bay was just elated as soon as they figured out the kind of player that he is. I was studying this guy, his tape, his stats, when I was putting together my piece on people to watch, and I thought, you know, oh, Tet McMillan, he was cool, he was a freak athlete, and, oh, you know, anybody else. And we slide with Matthew Golden, the Texas wide receiver, with insane speed, ran the 40 in a 4.2 something, and you see him walk through that tunnel. He puts that hat on. He's got his sunglasses on. He stands up with his jersey, and he is just ready to represent Green Bay, Wisconsin. The guy from Texas. I mean, living that luxury of life on NIL deals in Texas, going to Green Bay, and he's amped about it. His grandma loved the Packers. He's got that swagger that we are missing now that Jair's gone. That's what they need in that wide receiver room, not somebody that's, you know, going to be dramatic necessarily, but somebody that's going to shake things up, somebody with personality to kind of just make things different, a culture change. And I think Matthew Golden is the start of that culture. I think he should have a great year. I'm excited to see him on the field. I'm excited to see him play in Green Bay. Round two, Anthony Belton, tackle, great pick there. Beefing up the offensive line more. Savion Williams, round three, wide receiver from TCU. Again, I'm sorry, I don't have as much to say about these guys because I think Matthew Golden was the entire story of the offseason for the Packers, but Savion Williams as well, freak athlete. I think he could be another return guy. You might see him in the mix on the field as well on offense, so we'll see what happens there. Baron Sorrell, defensive lineman after that. Colin Oliver, defensive lineman. Warren Brinson, defensive lineman. Three in a row there. Micah Robinson, cornerback. Then John Williams, offensive lineman. So that rounds out the draft for Green Bay. And, you know, that's a lot of names. Of course it is. And now I'm just going to run through the depth chart. Things to watch. Jordan Love, healthy. Hope he stays healthy because we need another healthy Jordan Love season. When he's healthy, he is on. I mean, no kidding. He is one of the most fun quarterbacks to watch. I hold my breath every time he lets go of that ball. But the magic that he can do with a football at times is just a marvel. And I think Josh Jacobs, he should have a lightened workload bring in, you know, new faces in the wide receiver room. I think they want to build on that passing game and not so much rely on Josh Jacobs per se, but kind of be more two-dimensional in that regard. I think at times it was, you have to go through Josh Jacobs to be competitive. I think they want to be an elite threat in both areas again. And again, Matthew Golden, I think he should be a guy on breakout watch this year for the Packers. Again, another guy on breakout watch, Tucker Kraft. He was number two receiver last year. He is, in my opinion, one of the most underrated tight ends or players in the NFL. He doesn't get much spotlight, but he was great for the Packers. Picked up a lot of crucial yards in big games, and I think this could be his big year. Now on the line, there's some questions. We got Rashid Walker, Aaron Banks, Elgton Jenkins. Currently, they think at center, Sean Ryan at right guard, and at right tackle, the newly extended Zach Tom. So there's some good faces on that line. And Jordan Morgan is going to have to fight for a spot here. And he could also be on that watch list. Not necessarily to break out, be somebody new to impact the team. If you don't know Jordan Morgan, just a year or two ago, first round pick for the Packers. Haven't seen a whole lot of him, but it could be his time. You know, so we'll see how all that goes. Going out to the defense, Lucas Van Ness. They think he's going to start at defensive end. And you know what? I hope he does. I hope this is his year. This is the guy who is on breakout watch. Or possibly everybody saying, please, please break out. We've been waiting for this guy. Another first-round pick we've been waiting on. We need him to show us something. We need a better pass rush. Save the day for us, please. He's got the athleticism, and I hope he's put together the tools to be a great contributor on this team and finally start a game. Then alongside that, Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt at defensive tackle. Devontae Wyatt, you know, I think he's going into a contract year. I think he should show out a little bit behind him. Warren Brinson, two Georgia guys. That's exciting. Building up that camaraderie there. Kenny Clark, always great. And then Rashawn Gary on the other side. This could end up being a really good defensive front. If things mesh together, it could happen. But again, not everything does happen that way. At linebacker, still got Quay Walker. Edgerrin Cooper is going to see a lot more snaps this year, and I think everybody's excited for that. He was amazing when he was on the field, and that was for a limited time as well. He is looking to be probably one of the shot callers on this defense and somebody to watch. Again, Isaiah McDuffie just brought him back. He'll be backing up those two guys. Cornerback, there's some questions. I mean, we could see Bo Melton out there for all we know, but I think there's more room to feel calm than to panic with these guys. I think they can put this together and form a good secondary. Any team with Xavier McKinney at free safety has potential to be good. At the nickel, Nate Hobbs. You got Evan Williams at strong safety. Javon Bullard at the nickel as well. You know, these are solid guys. Javon Bullard pulled in a lot of tackles last year. And there's some guys to watch. This, again, this is a young team. And the trend is getting better. I don't think they got worse over the offseason. I think they got better a little bit. And the main reason things were shaky last year was because, in my opinion, Jordan Love was never his true self. And when Jordan Love is his true self, now adding Josh Jacobs, this team could be very, 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 very frightening to the NFC North. Again, I could be biased. To all my Vikings fans, Bears fans that are listening, I know you probably disagree with everything I'm saying, but this team is meshing together something special. If they can put things together, this is a young core. They need one or two players to break out, become solid starters, and that's all it takes from that point. The Packers were toe-to-toe with the Eagles in the playoffs, missing just about every receiver on the roster. A banged-up team that could have done better. And this is their chance to be better. And I think, underratedly, they're going to be the team to watch this year. I hope they are, at least. And I'm excited to watch them. I hope to get out to a game this year. I got out to see them play New Orleans last year near Christmas, and that was amazing. But I'm really excited to see this new group, to see Matthew Golden play, to see Jordan Love back out on the field, kind of scaring me every time he throws the ball. But excited to see him on TV, excited to hear Wayne Larrivee on the radio again. And again, thanks for listening, everybody. That is all I've got to say about the Packers for now. This is by far my longest episode ever, so forgive me for that in a sense, but I had a lot to say. I think there's a lot to say about this Packers team, and that is my 2 cents and 50 minutes on it. And again, thank you for listening. This was awesome to prepare for, awesome to record. I love the green and gold. I love doing this, and hopefully we can all have fun watching the NFC North this season, not just the Packers, and can't wait for football to get back. So as always, I've been your host, Lucas Kirchner, here on Kirch's Corner. Thank you for listening, and as always, I'll see you next time.